preacher came up yesterday. He called me. He said, I want to do some visiting. And I said, that's good. And so we went up, and he came up and hollered yesterday, and we visited a few people. And just as he left, it wasn't very long after he left, boy, we got a storm. And I'd never seen anything like that before in my life. And I almost think, because right before he left, he told my wife, he said, you leave Reuben alone. Because we was cleaning up a lot of Reuben's stuff, getting him packed up and moved out to his 100-acre place that he could put all his stuff. Well, the preacher told Stephanie, he said, you leave Reuben alone. And I don't know that the preacher didn't get out at the end of that hollering and say that he has a wicked church member that needs some more work, because the Bible says there's no rest for the wicked. So, but he forgot to leave me out of it until, but because I had to do a lot of it myself. So I guess I'm wicked too, or married a wicked woman. So. But no, anyway, I like to thank the Lord, because the preacher just had left. We had kids coming in right. I mean, everything happened. The preacher could have been underneath any of them trees or our kids. It was that close to everything. Everything happened. Just God took care of it all. And I do want to thank Him for that. But I'd like to look at a few things. There have been a lot of things on my mind. And one word that always kept coming back was separation. Separation. And looking at my life, you know, how separated am I from the world, from Egypt? That's what I was looking at, is Egypt as being the world. Moses, whenever he left Egypt, he went to the well, and there was some a woman there that was watering her father's flock, or going to try to, and the shepherds had run them off, and they'd went back. Moses had took up for them. We can read that. I'm going to read it. I'm thinking it's in Genesis, or Exodus, that's where it's at. Exodus chapter 2. It's in verse, I think, 19. But I'll just read it back up and read some. It says, and it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, and that he went out unto the brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way, and he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together and said to him, that did wrong, therefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me, and thou killest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely these things is known. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by the well. Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came and drew water and filled their troughs to water their father's flock. And the shepherds came and drove them away, but Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. And when they came to Reuel, their father, and said, how is it that ye are come so soon today? And they said, an Egyptian delivered us out of the hands of the shepherds. So Moses there wasn't an Egyptian. And that's what I got to thinking about. And he was a Hebrew, but they thought he was Egyptian. They thought he was of the world. probably the way he looked, he dressed like the Egyptians, so and was, you know, and that's what gets me. How often as Christians do we dress like a Christian on Sundays, and then on Mondays we're wearing the worldly clothes and doing the worldly things? How we talk,
right.
We talk the church on Sundays and Wednesdays, but when we get out in the world, how are we talking? How is the world seeing us?
Yeah.
Are they seeing us as, well, they're a Christian. What have they got that I don't have?
Right.
That's, you know, and that's what gets to me. How often do I do those things? How often do I show the world that I have nothing any different than them?
Right.
And those things ought not to be. And I'll be honest with you, and I want to thank the Lord. This May will be 3 years since I've had a Juice Enough. And I want to thank the Lord for taking that from me. These are the things that the Lord reveals to me. For many years, I'd go right down here at the liquor store and buy my snuff. Walk right in it, buy it. Well, I ain't buying no liquor. Well, I'll just tell you right now, that snuff is no different than the liquor that's on them shelves.
That's just true.
But I justified myself because snuff don't hurt nobody but me. And that's what I thought. But there's many people walked in that, seen me walk in that liquor store.
Yes, sir.
So, I mean, there's a lot of things in my life that I've had to change. But anyway, I'm going to go on here in James chapter 1, verse 23. A lot of people can quote it. I like to get it right. I can quote it, but I mess up a lot. So, and it says, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass." And that's a lot of times I think we hear the word. That's what we want to do. We're hearers of the word, but we don't want to do them.
Right.
And but I'm just going to read. Separation is it's the action or state of moving or being moved apart. Similar words as detachment, disassociation, segregation, parting of the ways. And I made that vow to God that I'll give up everything in this world, any worldly thing, to get to know Him better, get to be closer to Him. And I'm around a lot of people at work and other places that say, yeah, I'm a Christian, but their walk and talk does not say that they are. And I'll just tell you a story. I heard this story. There was a young man. This was years ago. He wasn't saved, and he'd went to a meeting and heard that preacher preach, there was a lot of people after the service was talking to that preacher. They was walking down the road, and they had went to a house, and that man wanted to talk to that preacher. And this man wasn't saved. And before he could really get to talk to him, I guess that preacher had said something kind of off-color or laughed at a joke or something. And they said that man turned around right then and stomped his foot and said, I knew it was a sham.
Yeah.
And how often in my life that people looked at me and done the same thing.
Yeah.
But later on, that man was dying, and he called for that preacher, and that preacher went to him, and he told him, he said, do you remember me? He said, no, I don't remember you. And he told him that story, and he said, I'm going to die and go to hell because what you said. And they said that was a true story, and they said that preacher literally broke down. And just about went crazy because of the things that one thing. And that man remembered that all the way through his life.
God help us all.
But anyway, in 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. And I'm going to read down to 7:1. It says, O you Corinthians, our mouth is upon you, and our hearts is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for the recompense in the same I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And that means anything not only married to them, I believe you shouldn't be business partners with them or anything. Have no dealings with them, because you'll wind up in the right along with them. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Baal? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what argument hath the what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. Ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Yes. Have therefore this promise. Dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God.
Yes. Amen.
And I know we're getting ready to come into a revival. And I've wanted to see a revival. And the preacher has preached, when we first started here, man, I mean, he preached his heart out on revival. And give us every way to know how to do it. And right here, so we really need to cleanse ourselves from this world.
Yes, amen.
Yes. And I'm not trying to browbeat people and point my finger, because I got them at me, pointing back at me. And that's George Mueller. I don't know if any of y'all know him, but anything he had to do, he'd go to the Bible, find that answer. Any question he had, he'd go to that Bible. And that's what that man lived by. And there was things in my life, and I knew my wife, I said, man, she's going to jump stiff-legged. And I fought it, man. I'd sit there at night and fight. I'd say, man, my wife, she ain't going to go for this. And finally, I told her, I said, listen, honey, we read the Bible, and I said, we're going to have to get this straightened out.
Amen.
She said, okay.
Amen.
I said, well. So here I was, you know, fighting the devil the whole time. And there's still things in my mind and my wife's life we're going to get straightened out. I mean, we're going to work on it, and we're going to get it done. But I need to put more faith in the Lord. And but yes, and that's what I said. I want to be closer to the Lord, and these are things that we need to do to get that way. James 3:10. The preacher told me not to be nervous when he gave me the... I said, yeah, I'm going to tell you all another story. Last time I preached, I was at the house. I lost a pencil, and I went and got another pencil. And I was writing stuff down, and I lost another pencil. I said, where did I do that pencil? I got to church and didn't have my pencil. I said, I got up here to start preaching, put my hand in my pocket. I had three pencils in my pocket. I was going to say something then, but I was afraid to, and I said, I better not. But anyway... found my pencils. It says here, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. There was a man, I'll just tell you, there was a man at work the other day, and I give him that verse. he was talking about him going to church and everything, and he was letting out some words, and I said, well, wait a minute, buddy. I said, I don't want to hear that. And I wasn't mean to him. And then later on, and he has Bible with him. He carries Bible with him. I said, I want you to read that. And he did, and he said, I was wrong. I said, okay. But those things, and that's not only just cussing, that's anything.
Yes, it is.
Any degrading of a person. And I've learned it's best not to down somebody. It's best to pray for them.
Yes, sir. Yes.
So,
good thought.
So those things, you know, ought not to be. And Christians are not to be conformed to this world. Romans 12. Romans 12, 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable, perfect will of God.
Yeah.
And how do we renew our minds? That's a question that I had. This is by filling it with the truth of God's Word.
Yes.
And aligning your thoughts with His will rather than conforming to worldly standards. That's why I honestly, I know there's a lot of godly men in here, and I would trust any. And I believe if I come to counsel with anybody, I believe if I counseled with the preacher or Brother Rick, I don't believe they would give me their what they think. I believe they would counsel me right here through this Bible, and that's exactly what we need to do. We need counseling. We need the Bible to counsel us. He is the counselor, and that's what the Bible says. And He is... He's the right one. And I'll tell you, I've been to some... There was one point in time that my doctor said, well, how about you going to go talk to a counselor? Well, I went to go talk to a counselor. And let me tell you what. I wasn't the one that needed counseling. I found out real quick that I was in the wrong spot. But whenever you go to the Bible, that is the right spot for your counseling. It says Christians are not to be lovers of this world. John, 1 John 2:15-17. Chapter 2, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away in lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever.
Yeah.
We'll mark that all. But it says, and the world here that they're talking of is the worldly organization system. That system of the world. everybody's in for their self. This world, they're wanting richer, want more, want faster trucks, prettier trucks, prettier cars, everything. And that's what, I'll just tell you, the Lord humbled me. I drove Chevrolets my whole life. And boy, I was always proud of my Chevrolets. They could outrun, they was the toughest truck on the road. And I was humbled. I ended up buying a Dodge because that was all I could afford. I'll just tell you, that was what I could afford. So, Brother Dave, he was driving Dodges. Now he's driving the GMCs. And I told him, I said, Brother Dave, I said, do not brag about that. I said, you be humble and keep your Chevrolets. That way you don't have to go back to the Dodge. Yeah, I love you, Dave. But anyway, those are the things that we need to stay away from is the worldly things. All those worldly things are oppositions to God. They don't want anything of the Lord. They don't want anything of God. It's all about them and what they can get out of this world. And the only riches we have is we have it all. If you're saved, you have it all. We got to imagine that we don't have. It's going to be nothing. We'll be walking on the streets of gold. We'll be walking on the things that this world wants.
Right, that's right.
The S-O-N is going to shine forever.
Amen.
He is the light of the world. He's the light of my heart. And I love Him. And I don't have to live like this.
That is right.
And that's it right there. That's revival right there. When God is enough, when Jesus is enough, that's when we'll have revival in this church, in this town, in this country. And that's the problem. Jesus ain't enough. It ain't enough for the people in the churches. He's not enough. But I want Him enough for me. And that's what I want in my life. I want Jesus. He's enough. We are in, well, I'm going to read John 16:11. It says of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. It says, we're not to have any fellowship with any society that does not know God and rejects His authority. Christians must separate from those who deny the doctrines of God's word. In Romans 16:17-20. It says, now I beseech ye, brethren, mark them which cause division and offense contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speech deceive the hearts of the simple. There's too many people out there, and there's a lot of preachers out there deceiving people, and through the word, and it also says, "For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But ye, I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil." And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under his feet shortly. And grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. There's a lot of people out there trying to deceive and crook people. That's why we need to be in her word and know exactly what the word has to say. There's a lot of, and I'm not a good talker, but there's, you can be very easily with some of these people, and a lot of these new Bibles that they got, they will deceive you little bit by little bit.
Yeah, amen.
And that's what's happening to a lot of people these days, are they're being deceived little by little.
Yes.
Little word by little word. And you can go through a lot of these Bibles, and I've thought about studying on it, a lot of that, to show exactly where it's at and how people are being deceived. In Titus chapter 3, verse 10, it says, a man that is a heretic after the first and second omission reject. And that's, that's people that are denying the doctrines of God. You are to reject those people and stay away from them. John, 2 John 9, 11. I must have wrote that down wrong. But anyway. Yeah, 9. Probably that's what I said. 2 John 9 through 11. Yeah. All right. It says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son.
Right.
All right. And then... If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not unto your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of the evil deeds.
Yeah.
We're not to, have somebody come in here and let's just say bring in some other version of the Bible, some perversion and preaching out of it, and then you just go on with, no, you're partakers of that.
Right.
And Bible specifically tells you not to be a partaker of it. If you help him out, then you're guilty of the same thing.
Yes. Amen.
2 Corinthians chapter 6. And that's 14 through 18. It says, be ye not unequally yoked. I read all that. But Christians must separate from those who are intentionally disobedient.
Yeah.
I know in my life there's been a lot of times that I was around people that was intentionally disobedient. I'm not going to listen to what the Bible says. We're going to do what we want. And a lot of times, as Christians, we do the same thing. I'm not going to... That's what I said. Me and my wife had some things, we're going to get straightened out and live for the Lord and do what the Bible says.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people say, oh, I'm not doing it. I'm not going to... I'm not... I'm going to do what I want to do. And I know that's... I've been there myself. That little bit of sin's not... going to hurt nothing. It's still disobedient to the Word of God. 2 Thessalonians 3, chapter 3. And I'll quit right here. Verse 6. 2:13, it says, now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the traditions which he received of us. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. Therefore did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we command you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. And I've seen that before. Everybody's a busybody. They want to worry about what everybody else is doing. And we can get like that in our Christian life. How come they're not doing that? Or how come somebody had him to do this and they didn't have me to do it? Maybe because the Lord led somebody else to do it. Sometimes we might want to be thankful that God give us a break for a little bit. Yeah. And not be so judgmental of people or wondering why. But we got a lot of busybodies. And now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. We need to keep on doing. Don't be weary in well-doing. We need to keep doing what we need to be doing. Pray. And I really want to see a revival in this church. I want to see a revival in my life. I want to see a revival in Nicholas County. I want to see a revival in West Virginia.
Yeah,
it can happen.
Yes, it can.
I believe it.
Yes.
And before I give it over to the preacher, I just want to thank y'all for letting me. And I hope I'm doing better. I've done quit 1,000 times. And I use the excuse, Lord, I don't talk good, I can't. And I've used that, and he says, yeah, Moses told me the same thing. And I'm not any good at English. And when I read my Bible, punctuation makes a big difference in how you interpret and even teach the Scripture.
Yeah.
And man, English, I just take a zero. I never did ever understand. But I'm learning some of this stuff. And I even used that. I said, God, I'm unlearned. He said, yeah, Peter told me the same thing.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to get out of it. And we're not going to get out of the Word of God. I believe that we can take some of this Scripture, maybe meditate upon it, and maybe see a big revival in this church.
Yes, sir.
See souls saved. And I believe the Lord, He can use us to bring a lot of people in.
Yes, sir.
But I think we need to get our lives in order. And get ourselves in order. And I honestly don't, and that's what I said, I don't want to, be mean towards people, because, and like I said, I have stuff that I got to deal with. But we really need to be what we are at church. We need to be what we are on Sunday morning and Sunday evening, on Monday and Tuesday.
That's right.
And Wednesday and Thursday and Friday.
Yes, sir.
Because whenever it comes to the way we talk and the way we walk and the way we dress and what we drink and how we conduct ourselves, we really need to watch that.
Yes, we do.
And I hope I said something or done something to help somebody. And I know it helps me when I read the Bible and study this stuff out. Preacher, if you want an invitation or however you want to do it.
Yeah.